Sportscast, September 13th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe at all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest news and scores. Week one has passed for the NFL. A lot of drama, even through the preseason and going in through week one and also going through week two with the whole Antonio Brown issue. But Jeff Fowler, long time no see. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks a lot, man. Glad to be back.
A lot of drama in week one. Let's begin with the games. Let's, you know, like the outside drama, we'll just tap that a little bit later. Kansas City had a good start. Obviously, Kansas City never had good luck against Jacksonville Jaguars, but this time around, it was different. They put a lot of points on the board. What were your thoughts about the Chiefs' opening game?
I mean, Mahomes came out and looked awesome, and even after he got banged up a little bit, you know, he rolled his ankle or whatever, so he lost a little bit of his mobility, but he looked phenomenal, and so did Sammy Watkins. I mean, all offseason, everything that the Chiefs media was reporting is that Sammy Watkins looked different. He was in the best shape ever. And the only problem with that is, you know, every training camp, every player is in the best shape of their life. So yeah, it's hard to separate what's real from what's fluffery. But when you watch Sammy Watkins, it does look, he looks great. So that, I thought that was the biggest story of the game. Tyreek Hill getting hurt, less than ideal. They're going to miss him. But fortunately for them, it sounds as though he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. Definitely not ideal, but also not worst case scenario. So I thought the offense looked great. Shady McCoy looked really good in his first action with them. And then on the defensive side, they still have work to do. You know, they didn't look awful or anything like that, and they made a few plays when they had to. But the defensive side is definitely going to be a work in progress.
Yeah, a couple of things. Why did Kansas City not struggle like with Jacksonville? Because before last year, I think Jacksonville was the only team that held off Mahomes with no touchdowns. But what made this weekend different?
I think there's a couple things. I mean, one, I would say this is, you know, a lot of people want to say, oh, teams are going to have film on Mahomes and it's going to slow them down. Okay, well, the other side of that argument is, Mahomes is going to start seeing some of these teams for a second time. So I'm sure he learned from some of the mistakes he made in that first game. And, you know, last time he played him, he didn't throw a touchdown. He threw two interceptions. I didn't think he played – the first time he played him, I didn't think he played a bad game. He just made some less than stellar decisions in a couple moments, but they still won the game. This year, it seemed as though, A, Mahomes – made good decisions. And the second part of that was anytime you play an Andy Reid team in those first, you know, say 2 to 3 weeks of the season, he's got some new wrinkles added in. I mean, some of those plays, you know, guys were running, you know, so wide open. It was like a video game. So that certainly helps. But yeah, I think Mahomes was efficient. He was accurate and did all the little things right, moved well within the pocket. Would like to see him avoid some of the hits that he took. You know, it kind of became clear once the Chiefs jumped out to that lead, you know, the Jaguars were trying to get hits on him. They were certainly trying to cheap shot him and just get any extra lick in they could. So you want to see him try to avoid those things, but obviously in football, sometimes you just get hit. That's kind of how it works.
For the Jaguars, Nick Foles got injured in the first quarter. Gardner Minshew came in for him. There is some speculation Foles might be out for the season. How much of an impact will that be for the Jaguars?
Well, it's hard to tell. You would think that it would be significant because Foles looked pretty good before he got hurt. With that said, Minshew came in and was gunning it all over the place. I mean, now, again, that's the part, because it's only 1 week, it's really hard to tell. Was Minshew playing great? Is the Chiefs defense still a mess, or is it a combination of the two? Just me watching it, I thought he made some really accurate throws and made some nice plays. And you just have to see if he can build on that. Now, he is a rookie. Odds definitely aren't in his favor, but that doesn't mean that he can't be good. With that said, I mean, the Dodgers are going to miss Nick Foles. You know, that was their off-season major move to improve the team and finally get them stable quarterback play. So, I mean, they're going to miss him. And I guess it depends on, there's some variables with his injury. He could end up returning this year or he may not. So I guess we'll see how Minshew plays and see how the injury heals with Foles. But I'd say for right now, we have to say it's a really significant loss without just completely writing off Minshew. But nobody can lose their starting quarterback and feel good about it. You know, it's just, there's not many good quarterbacks. So when you have one, you need them to feel healthy.
Yeah, which the Jaguars traded for Josh Dobbs, which he was with the Steelers, traded for him for a few picks. Obviously, I'm not sure what the Jaguars are saying. I guess they're just looking for a backup for Minshew. But have you known anything about Joshua Dobbs?
I mean, just watching him play in the Steelers preseason games, he's athletic. He'll make plays outside the pocket and run around a bit. But, I mean, you know, I don't want to be a jerk, but if Josh Dobbs ends up playing significant snaps, then you're in trouble. I mean, they got him to be a backup so that, you know, if something were to happen to Minshew, he can at least come in and run their playbook. But, you know, if Josh Dobbs is getting significant snaps, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. Looking onward, the Chiefs will be playing the Raiders this Sunday. The Chiefs, I mean, like the Raiders have gone through a lot of drama this past offseason. But they won their first game against the Broncos 24-16. Looking at the AFC West, how do you look? I mean, was Raiders playing a weak Broncos team? Or what how do you see the Raiders?
I think the Raiders are going to be improved on last year. I don't think the Raiders are going to be a horrible team, but at the same time, the Broncos did a lot of things to make their job a little bit easier. The Broncos offense is not going to really challenge a lot of people. So they kind of allowed the Raiders to do what they do best and attack the line of scrimmage and play to the strength. It seems, at least based on one game, it seems as though the Raiders front seven is definitely improved. And the Broncos don't have the type of team speed to really spread you out. So it was one of those situations where their style of play played right into the strength of the Raiders. So I don't want to make any, you know, gigantic, bold statements based on one week, but I just felt that matchup-wise, you know, the things the Broncos do favored the Raiders. And I really, you know, Cortland Sutton's a nice player. Emmanuel Sanders can still play. Phillip Lindsay is a nice player. But when you just look at the Broncos' entire offense and then relying on Flacco at quarterback, they're just not an overly talented offense. And add that to the fact the Raiders were all juiced up and coming off that emotional high of probably feeling a little bit like they got used by Antonio Brown. So you add all those factors up and you got the Raiders beating the Broncos, who, based on what we know now, I think, you know, the Raiders and Broncos will be battling each other for third and fourth place in that division.
Yeah, of course. And the Chargers are definitely looking for a strong second in the AFC West, which they beat the Colts convincingly. Well, they beat the Colts 30-24. I can't say convincingly because that looks like a very small margin. But the Chargers did well without Melvin Gordon. Eckler had 58 yards, and I'm not sure if I heard this rumor correct, but now with Eckler performing well, do you think Melvin Gordon might not come back with the Chargers?
I'm not going to say, you know, the ship has completely sailed, but I don't think the Chargers missed them a whole lot. Now, I will say this, the Chargers are very fortunate because Adam Vinatieri missed two field goals and an extra point, and that game ended up going to overtime. So those couple kicks really made a gigantic difference in that game. Austin Eckler looked great. You know, ended up scoring the game-winning touchdown as well. So, again, you know, week one, it's just one game is such a small sample size, but what I took from that game, Phillip Rivers looked really good, but he was constantly under pressure. And the Colts pass rush definitely won't be the best pass rush that he sees this year. So if there was one weakness the Chargers had, that was probably it. Their run defense got gouged a little bit, so that was less than ideal. The Chargers are going to be right there, because I do think once they have some time to gel a bit with some of the younger guys, their defense really, really has a lot of talent. Even with Derwin James, even with his injury, they still have plenty of talent on that side of the ball. And I guess, you know, if you're looking at it from the Chargers' perspective, they have to hang tough until he comes back later in the year. And then once he's back, their defense could really round into form going into the playoffs.
So as of right now, it feels like a clear cut for the Kansas City Chiefs to win the AFC West.
Well, and it's, again, 1 week has been played and a lot can change. So, I mean, right now, yeah. I mean, I think because of the Broncos and Raiders both have a long list of issues. The Chargers, I just, Phillip Rivers looked great, but it's bad enough to let any quarterback take a beating, but I believe he's 37 or 38 years old. If you let him take that type of beating week in and week out, he's not going to play 16 games. So I would certainly say so far the Chiefs are the favorite, and they've won the division 3 years in a row, so they certainly should be the favorite. But, yeah, I think the Chargers will be that second team.
And is Sammy Watkins kind of hurt, I heard?
I don't think Sammy Watkins is hurt. Tyreek Hill left the game.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill is banged up, yeah.
But Watkins doesn't have a bruise or anything. I heard something, he tweaked something, but maybe not as big as people are thinking it is.
Yeah, I
guess not. You're
yeah,
a Chiefs fan. Okay, I don't want to put rumors around, but I've been hearing I hear a lot of this stuff. Sunday Night Football was a big deal. Patriots beat the Steelers 33-3. It was really convincing. Brady had 341 yards. Roethlisberger had 276. What does this tell you about the Steelers and the Patriots?
The Patriots' defense is going to be really, really good. For one, I mean, that was my biggest takeaway. I mean, the Patriots brought everybody back on a defense that was already really good. So the Patriots' defense is going to be exceptional. The Steelers' offense is not as talented as it's been in years past. So you lose Le'Veon Bell, you lose Antonio Brown. That's a lot. And I know both those guys had their issues and, you know, whatever. But on the field, it's hard to replace both those guys. And Juju Smith-Schuster is now going to be planned as the number one wide receiver. Every week, you know, whoever the Steelers play, that's going to be the top weapon you have to take away. And Connor isn't Bell, and Juju isn't Brown. So all of a sudden, you know, you're not loaded on offense anymore. And then I don't think Vance McDonald at tight end, I don't think is – I'm trying to think how to say this. He's good enough to take advantage whenever there's great talent around him and he gets favorable matchups. But if other defenses can focus on him, I don't think he's the type of player that really threatens you. So that's going to be a problem. I think that's going to be a season-long problem for the Steelers. They're going to have to find a way to manufacture yards and points because they don't have the matchups anymore to just dominate your one-on-one matchups. And then on defense, I mean, it seems like every time the Patriots and Steelers play, the Patriots just tear apart their zones, and you know that's really what happened again. I mean, guys, if you look at most of the throws Brady made, I mean, his receivers a lot of times didn't have anyone within 2 or 3 yards of them. So that's unfortunately kind of what we've come to expect when those two teams play each other. The Patriots offense just shreds those zones that the Steelers like to run.
Also, another significant game which shocked a lot of people, Cleveland losing to the Tennessee Titans in Cleveland, 43-13. People were saying Browns are the team of the future. They're going to win their game opener, but they have not won their game opener since 1999.
And I think I don't necessarily believe a loss is ever a good thing, so I won't go that far, but the Browns, I think the Browns read too many of their own headlines. You know, they do have a lot of individual talents on their roster, but they laid an egg. I mean, they just got whooped. And the Titans, not to say the Titans are going to be bad, but I don't think the Titans are a team that you think is going to make a deep playoff run. You know, maybe they sneak into the playoffs as a wild card, or I mean, who knows? That division they're in right now is such a gigantic mess with Luck retiring and Foles being hurt. They potentially could win that division.
It's wide open now.
But, yeah, I mean, it is wide open. But at the same time, to get 43-13 by the Titans, I mean, that's rough. I mean, that's a rough outing. And Baker, you know, he talks a lot. So if you're going to talk a lot, you better back it up. And I didn't think he played a great game.
Yes, they play the New York Jets on Monday Night Football with no Sam Darnold. And I think Le'Veon Bell's all right. I think he had an MRI today, and I think he's doing okay. So we'll see what happens. Off the field drama, Antonio Brown was a Raider last week, this week a Patriot. What was your reaction after this week?
Well, when you see the way it played down and how quickly it played out and how quickly the Patriots signed him, I think Brown orchestrated all of it. I mean, as quickly as he was cut and then immediately signed with the Patriots, something went on behind the scenes there. I mean, it doesn't happen that quickly unless you're doing it intentionally. And yeah, I think that's the long and the short of it. I think Brown wanted to go to the Patriots from day one. The Steelers wouldn't trade him there. So he came up with a way to get, you know, to get out and get with the Patriots. And you know, it stinks, but that's just kind of how things go sometimes.
And I won't be surprised if the Patriots had their hand in that as well, trying to orchestrate something.
I mean, if we know one thing about the Patriots, it's that they'll always push, they'll push the boundaries to be competitive. And whether you love them or hate them, they win a lot, and they're not afraid to take those risks. So I'm sure that if they had a way that, you know, Brown knew that they would sign him when he was free.
And also there is a civil case, an accusation towards Brown that he raped a trainer a couple years ago. I'm not sure if the Patriots knew about the situation or something, or maybe like the Raiders cook up this thing. But do you think this will affect Brown in the future, or do you think this is not going to be a big deal?
It's you know, it's hard to say, and obviously I'm not an attorney or part of any legal team, but
it is a sports show.
You know, yeah, it's just from the little bit that I followed it, you know, it does seem like odd timing, and obviously you never want to just completely, you can't ignore something like that. You certainly have to see what it's all about. It's being investigated. It's just really hard to say. I mean, I don't want to jump to any conclusions on either side of it. I mean, it doesn't seem like Brown has his act together, but when you're talking about something as serious as rape, I mean, that's a big deal. You know, that's it's the worst crime you can commit next to murder. So I would just say to let the investigation play out, see what's behind it.
Yeah, with this status, this is a civil case, so it's not a criminal case, so it would not, I believe the NFL is investigating the situation, but so far he is on the docket to play this Sunday against the Miami Dolphins, which is another drama team that they're tanking for Tua. I mean, everyone asks me, "Oh no, this is horrible," but I think they have a plan. And to be honest, like the years prior, they always put Band-Aids on the team, but I think we got to take a few steps back in order to move a couple of steps forward, and.
And it's been a long, I mean, I don't know the last time that you could say that an NFL team took tanking very seriously. and I understand the frustration for the Dolphins players, but at the same time, it's funny. The two teams that come to mind are, you know, I look at what the Dolphins are doing, and I look at what the Broncos are doing. The Broncos got Case Keenum last year and then traded for Flacco this year. And now they restructured Flacco, so he's going to be there 2 to 3 years. So, unfortunately, for a team like the Broncos, unless a lot of things bounce their way, they're not going to win a Super Bowl with Flacco, but they use assets to keep him. Whereas what the Dolphins are saying is, look, we're just going to completely bottom out. We're going to absolutely tank, but then we're going to have the opportunity to get a quarterback that we feel is a franchise quarterback. And that makes all the difference if you're actually trying to win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's, you know, obviously you still have to hit on the picks, though. So, I mean, that's the thing. You can have 10 first-round picks. You still have to pick the right players. So that's the part that, you know, they're getting all the assets and they're accumulating assets, which is great, but then they got to hit on the picks.
Yeah, something to definitely look at. I think it's definitely worth it. We haven't had a quarterback since Dan Marino, and we haven't had a coach since Shula. I'm still optimistic with Flores. Obviously, this is not his fault. It's probably a front office decision to make this happen. But if it takes a year to get a great quarterback that will last you for, you know, for 10, 13 seasons, that is definitely, I think it's worth it. And the, seeing the talent that you see coming out of college for next draft is definitely worth it. But I hope the fans understand the situation. You got to take a knock a little bit in order to win. But anyways, anything else before we head into predictions?
I'm ready for predictions.
Let's do it. Let's begin with the Chargers at Detroit.
I think the Chargers will win that game by a touchdown. You know, they're always a little bit sloppy on the road, it seems, and they might not come out strong. But you know, Detroit tied that game with the Cardinals. I didn't really like the, I just didn't think that Detroit looked real sharp. So I think the Chargers will win that game.
Minnesota at Green Bay, divisional
Green
rivalry.
Bay. I mean, Kirk Cousins, I want to say, threw 10 passes last week. And, I mean, I get it. You do what you have to do to win a game. But you're in week one, and you're basically hiding your quarterback. The Vikings defense is really good. They have a lot of talent. But your quarterback's going to have to throw the ball more than 10 times when you face Aaron Rodgers. And, yeah, the Packers will win that game.
Speaking about Case Keenum, I think he had a good he had a good performance, even though they lost, but he had a good performance this past weekend.
He played pretty well, particularly in the first half. He played well, but, you know, he just wasn't able to keep up. You know, once the Eagles started rolling, you know, he wasn't going to be able to win a shootout with Wentz.
He worked well with Minnesota. I feel like it was a right fit, but I don't know. I guess they view Case Keenum as a second-class quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, they thought Kirk Cousins would be an upgrade, and I suppose, you know, he may be an upgrade, but you also pay a lot more to have him. So there's that balance of,
yeah,
is he worth the additional money that you pay? That's the part that's hard to decide.
The Cowboys, which had a great weekend, week one, against the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys will win that game. And I'll tell you what, of all the teams I watched week one, the Cowboys were one of the most impressive. Their defense already had a ton of young talent, and their offensive line was stacked, and you knew about Zeke. Well, now this Michael Gallup looks like he's coming into his own as a second receiver with Amari Cooper, and then you have Randall Cobb, who seems to be over some of his injuries. So all of a sudden, the Cowboys have talent on both sides of the ball, and I just think their roster overall is really, really good. Now, again, we keep going back to one week sample size.
I know.
You know, the Giants aren't going to be very good, so you don't want to put too much into how the Cowboys look because they weren't playing good competition. But but I did think they looked really sharp, and I think they'll win the game.
Especially Dak, I think he was really prepping during the preseason, but I feel like he's different this year. It feels like that first year feel. His last 2-3 seasons wasn't. Last year, he wasn't that hot, but this year it feels like something. Obviously, it's week one, but hopefully Dak does well. Love that. Love him so much. Seattle versus Pittsburgh.
You know, this is one of the tougher ones because Seattle's traveling across the country. It's Pittsburgh's home opener. Seattle's offensive line is struggling. The Steelers are really good up front. But then you look at Russell Wilson versus the Steelers zones, you would think Wilson will have some plays to make there. And then on the other side, I just don't know what to make of the Steelers offense yet. I think it's going to take them some time to find what they want to do. But I do think the Steelers will win. And I just think it comes down to, I think the Steelers defense is going to be able to hit Wilson more than what the Seahawks defense will hit Roethlisberger. So I think it'll be a closer game. I think it'll be one of those games where it goes back and forth a bit, and the Steelers will end up winning by 10, but they'll have to score a late touchdown to do it. So I think that game could be like 28 to well, I said 10. We'll make it 8. So I think it'll be 28-20. But maybe it's a, you know, a 21-17 game for a while before the Steelers pull away late.
That might be one of the biggest games this weekend, not looking at it very closely, because I could see Seattle winning that game in Pittsburgh.
I could see that too, but the Steelers play pretty well at home, and I don't – now, there's a certain – it's not like you can just get super mad and win games, but I'm sure they don't feel good about that performance in New England, and they want to bounce back from that.
Bills at the New York Giants.
Man, it's funny because the Bills looked so bad early last week, and then they bounced back and won the game.
Like Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, Arizona tied, right? But yeah. They still made a big comeback. You know, I like the Bills in that game just because I think the Bills' defense is really good.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen can be a little bit erratic, but he can also make some big plays. So I think if the Bills can get a couple big plays out of their passing game and then just help out the defense a little bit, I think they'll do well. And, you know, a lot of times the home team has an advantage, but you can't get much of a shorter trip than Buffalo to New York. So
and Buffalo played in New York last week as well. So they're playing the same stadium. Right. It's weird.
Right. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's really I like the Bills in that game. I think they'll get after Eli a bit. You know, I think that'll be a 17-14 type game, and the Bills will win it.
Which Eli did pass a lot to Ingram, the tight end, more than usual. So it was kind of interesting to see that. I don't know if the OBJ factor, but
Ingram's a nice player too.
Yeah,
he's open a lot. He's a nice player.
Another big game of the weekend, maybe the game by most pundits: the Saints at the Rams, repeat of last year's NFC Championship game.
Man, the Saints are very, very fortunate they won that game against the Texans.
That was a great first Monday night. Yeah. Oof.
It was a phenomenal game.
It was explosive.
Yeah. Very much so, especially late. And I think I like the Rams in that game just because the Saints, even last year, the Saints, as good as they were, they started a little bit slower. And, you know, they very well could have lost that home game to the Texans. So I like the Rams being the home team. Close game, but I picture that being a 30-28 type game, and I think the Rams will win. I thought Gurley Gurley's been, you know, beat up here a while, but I thought he looked good at the end of that game to close it out for the Rams to win week one. And I think he could be the difference. You know, I think it'll be another close game, but I think the Rams will be able to close it out late.
Yeah, with the Gurley thing's been very mysterious. No one really knows what's happening. I don't even know if the team knows precisely. Maybe, you know, because a lot of these players have their private doctors, but we'll see what happens with Gurley. Eagles at the Falcons.
Eagles. I mean, the Falcons, I thought, looked rough from what I saw. Now, again, I didn't watch that entire game, but the Falcons are one of they have issues up front, and I think Matt Ryan's a good quarterback, but he's also one of those guys that he kind of needs things around them to be stable, and with that Falcons offensive line, things aren't going to be stable. So I think the Eagles win that game by 10. I really like the Eagles offense. I think Wentz is just going to keep getting a little bit better and a little bit better, you know, coming back off multiple injury year 2 years of injuries. And the more Wentz plays, the more smooth he's going to be. And I love what the Eagles have done with their running game. I like Sanders, you know. So just looking at that, that's going to be a double-digit win for the Eagles.
The Wentz of old. Monday Night Football, the Browns at the New York Jets.
Man, before Darnold was out, I would have said the Jets might win that one. But with Trevor Siemian starting, I still think it's going to be a good game. Browns having to travel to New York. The Jets defense is getting better and has some talent on that side of the ball. And I'll be anxious to see how the Browns respond to laying an egg week one. That team has a lot of individual talent, but they're also, I think they have a lot of guys that can become volatile. So what I would say is I do think the Browns will win by a touchdown. But I also think if the Jets can make that game ugly early and just kind of hang around and muddy it up, we're going to find out what the Browns are made of a little bit, because I don't think the Jets are just going to lay down and let the Browns make a fun day of it. So I do think the Browns will win, but I don't feel the greatest about picking them.
Yeah, it's going to be – it feels like a toss-up game. I guess, you know, even though Jets are without Darnold, they could still win this game, just depending on Cleveland's performance. Some say it's the coaching that's not, you know, kind of marinating together with the talent they have. But we'll see what happens. Right. Really, everyone's eyeing Cleveland because everyone's saying they're the team of the future. But it didn't pan out for you know, week one. But hopefully they'll come back stronger in week two. Random question: which rookie impressed you in week one?
Oh man, a rookie that impressed. Josh Allen for the Jaguars. Yeah, I mean
You mean Minshew?
What's that?
You mean Minshew, the quarterback?
No, Josh Allen, the defensive end for the Jaguars.
Okay.
Yeah, Josh Allen, the defensive end. I mean, he gave the Chiefs some problems up front, got some hits on Mahomes. I mean, he's one of those guys when you watch him play, you can just tell he has it all together. So he's going to be a really, really good pass rusher. And he's obviously, he's only a rookie. Pass rushers always take a little bit of time to adjust to the NFL speed. And I felt like as soon as he stepped on the field, he looked the part, you know. Now, you know, keep in mind, that's the game I watched the absolute closest. But, yeah, Josh Allen, he's going to be a stud. So that I'd say he was the most impressive rookie that I saw.
What happened to that one time where Mac or was it Jack? Was Miles Jack that he was, like, ejected and he was, like, fighting the refs to stay in the game?
Yeah, well, Miles Jack, I mean, the Chiefs kind of picked on him and beat him with a couple double moves and creative concepts. And I think he was just embarrassed. You know, he got blown by in coverage two or three times. And so he just started cheap-shotting people. So I think Miles Jack was just frustrated. And he took Sammy Watkins out on a deep route way away from the ball, and then Watkins gave it back to him. And so he threw a punch. So, I mean, just some guys just don't keep their head.
There you have it. Jeff, what is the best way for people to reach you to talk to you about Sammy Watkins?
the best way to follow along is on Twitter, at JT Falver. As always, it's mostly Chiefs stuff with some barbecue mixed in.
There you go. Chiefs, this is the season that people think they could win the AFC, go to the Super Bowl, but they have to go through Tom Brady some way, somehow. If you want to reach us on thesportscast.net and also on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be following football games throughout the weekend, college football and NFL. Week one was really excited, really exciting. Hopefully week two will be the same. New names coming in the board, rookies making standout like Josh Jacobs, and then, of course, some newer players that have been around the league for about a couple years are still making, being very explosive in the NFL, but it's definitely a lot of talent going around, and hopefully week two will be as impressive as week one. Anyways, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
All right, thanks for having me.